Kenny Loggins is coming. I like Kenny Loggins. That's just awesome.
Yeah, yeah. He's so proud.
Hello, Ann. Good, how are you? Yeah, boringly so.
We have to find something more dangerous.
Yeah, like Kiwanis.
Yeah.
Were you there at the downtown club on week ago yesterday?
To please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Quite the.
I don't know how many.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yes.
Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. Trustee Kopisch?
Here.
Trustee Gendrich?
Here.
Trustee Green is excused. Trustee Vandenhoven is here. Trustee Dart?
Here.
Trustee Gass?
Here.
Trustee Zeller?
Here.
Are there any proposed modifications to the agenda this evening? Is there anyone with us who'd like to see an agenda item moved up or down on the agenda? Is there a motion to approve the agenda as submitted? Trustee Kopisch, is there a second? Trustee Gendrich, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Announcements. Sure, you want to cover the announcements? Tracy?
Being here late, I asked for the opportunity to introduce a new chief. As you know, this process has been going on for some time, and I had put my name for the job, so I just want to explain to everybody that it was a good learning process. At this point, I'm more than happy that Chief Flynn got the job. I think he's the right guy. I'm thrilled to be working for him. I think he's going to serve the communities, our community, your community, very well. And so with that, I'd like to introduce Chief Dave Flynn.
Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity to address the board. I'm really excited about being a member of the Green Bay Metro Fire Department and serve the village of Alloway as well. Just a quick little bit about me. I'm 31 years in the fire service, all of it in Illinois. So please don't shoot
me. Oh, jeez. No.
Did we know that ahead of
time? Yeah. I stopped listening. I'm sorry.
You as well, so anyway. I spent a lot of time in all ranks, through the years. I was a medical paramedic for 25 years, an arson investigator, and trained on all those things. So, just really want to come and tell you that Chief Neff, I know he ushered the process here and was shepherding it through, and I know he did an outstanding job of it. And Mike and I he's been just outstanding in welcoming me here and helping me through the initial stages. This is my seventh day on the job, so. I'm taking a bite of the elephant one bite at a time, so to speak. But he really has been outstanding in helping and assisting. And so I wanted to say thank you to him in front of you as well. But just to let you know that if there's any issue that you need to see us or you need to talk to us about, we're here. We take our duties very seriously, and we're really looking forward to working with you. So if you have any questions for me, I'd be glad to answer them for you. But just thank you for the opportunity.
Are you a Bears fan?
I was a free agent. I've been traded.
Good answer. Politically, I think you're on board.
Good answer.
Any other questions for the chief?
I was going to ask if you'd be living in Alloway or if Green Bay was enforcing the residency.
I am living in Green Bay. I'll be up in the Smith area.
Well, welcome, Chief Litton. We're happy to have you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you. Thank you.
Item number, are there any other announcements?
Just a couple, please. Steve, just a reminder, I know the Brown County Planning Commission meeting is on 8/7, and I believe you will not be able to attend that.
That's right.
I'm looking for a village board member to maybe go for you. So I don't know if anybody can check the calendar or can get back to you to Steve Rye, if that would work for you. I don't know what time the meetings normally start.
It's 6:30. They're down at the transportation, Met station, bus station.
That morning, at night.
Ninth.
What day was that, Tracy?
8-7 must be, is that a Wednesday? Because I think our next school board is the 6th. Is that correct?
I think that's right, yeah. They're meeting every Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yeah, it's a Wednesday, so it'll be the night after our next village board meeting.
I'll check my calendar and see if I can let you know tomorrow.
Okay, that would be great.
Thank you.
And then just a reminder, with our 8-6 meeting, our August 6th meeting, we'll be starting at 5:30, and we're starting early because we will be presenting the initial survey report for the Historical Preservation Committee. So just keep that in mind. Please mark your calendar at 5:30 start for the 6th meeting on the 6th. And Eddie Craig has a couple as well.
I have several items I'll cover real quickly. First is a reminder that tomorrow at 5:30 here in the boardroom is a meeting with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. It's their initial meeting with us in terms of the initial part of the plan. I would really encourage you to attend if you can at all, at any means make it, because they are going to be talking about the traffic study and the actual alternatives for the design as far as traffic capacity, lanes, and things of that sort. It will be final recommendations, but it will be initial results. So I would encourage you to attend. And we're also going to be talking about the path forward in terms of other committees, individuals, involvement by the board and public works committee. We're going to be talking a little bit about that in terms of village preference for future meetings with the DOT. So that's 5:30 tomorrow.
Who are the other participants coming?
It will be, you mean from the village standpoint?
Well, will be the property owners, is DePere involved, or is it strictly Alloway?
Alloway and DePere, public officials. Because it's the initial meeting to talk about how you want to proceed and involvement and scheduled meetings and initial results of the traffic analysis and things of that. And then future meetings will be a broader, more open meeting. Public will be invited, residents and things of that sort.
Craig, the invitation that Tracy sent was for 5, is it 5 or 5:30?
It's 5:30.
5:30, okay.
Second item is, and I'm sure you've gotten questions, heaven knows we've gotten a lot of phone calls and questions about this, the lawn restoration on our projects, just to give you an update.
Yeah.
And what we've said to the residents that have called is, you know, if you please give us a little bit of time, because construction started 6 to 8 weeks late from what we would normally start because of the cold spring weather. About the beginning of the third week in June, we were able to get the lawn restoration work started. Most of the restoration work is done by Wills. We're about 50% of the way through lawn restoration on our project. Breyer, Betty, Whitney, Picard, Mission, most of Bitters Court, those are done. There's water main work is underway. We had 33 water main and service repairs. So that's curb work as far as concrete work, some of it's driveways, and then it's lawn restoration. So that's underway. And then our last project from last year, Quincy and our attention, so underway late next week. So in about 2 weeks, we should be done with the restoration to the village. That's what we're shooting for. So if you have questions, just let people know. We're moving along, and we expect it to get completed within the next couple of weeks. It was a late start, and the contractors are very busy because of the late start, so it's been a struggle to get everything caught up.
Craig, if I remember correctly, a lot of the complaints, too, even if they had come and done the restoration, is that the grass wasn't growing in the way that the resident expected, and they don't mow because they see weeds growing up. And isn't it the recommendation from Willems that you need to mow it?
You need to mow.
Even if it looks like it's not completely grown in, you need to mow it, right?
Yes, you need to mow it.
Okay.
And part of the concern that residents had is, if you recall, we did late fall, early winter construction, so we did topsoil and seed even though it was right before winter. And we did that because that was that's normally what you would do, and then you hope for good growth in the spring. Well, we're going back to those spots and doing touch-up and warranty work on that because we knew we would have to. But that's just the nature of that type of construction. So, but yes, mold and water as needed. And we do go to the residents when we see that they are going out and we let them know that they are. So we do encourage them to do that. Next item is, and you may have seen this, and actually this is the second time this occurred. A couple months ago there was a mailer to some residents, and then in the last 2 weeks there was another mailer from HomeServe USA Repair Management about insuring the laterals for the water services. We posted a notice on the website to address this, and they're making this available to residents that have questions. It came from the Rural Water Association that we belong to as a recommendation for a public notice in this regard. So we issued this notice to make it available to people, and I'm just going to quote just a sentence in here. The company is correct in stating the property owners are responsible for lateral repair costs between the village right-of-way and their house. However, property owners should contact their insurance companies to see if they are already covered for a lateral damage incident or if they feel such coverage is warranted. So we have recommended to people that if you have a question, talk to your insurance agent. Decide for yourself whether you feel you need or already have coverage for this type of event. And by way of frequency, we have over 5,000 services. And when I talked about before the repairs we did, we find 20 to 25 leaks in the course of a year on service. And most of those is a repair, which is $300, $400, $600 for the repair, if it's on the private side. Only one or two of the year are actually replaced, fully replaced. So that's the information you provide the residents, just so you're aware that that's there and available to answer the question. And then the last item I have is, I did get one call this week with questions about our new water meters, because on blogs and on the news media there's been discussion about the smart meters and all the things that they track in your home. Those are electric meters. Now, water meters read only water. If we get a significant number of questions, we'll put out a white paper on it, but we will have a mailer that will go out as we start the project for those areas where we're going to start replacing water meters. And so we'll get some information out on that. But what we are doing with our water meter replacement is not what's being talked about in the public forum. We simply read the water usage on a daily basis, and we use that as a way to find homes where there's a water leak, appliance leak, or failure. And that's just a service that we'll provide in the future so that we can avoid some of these water rebates and things that have come up in the past where people have failure within their home. And this allows us to read the water meter from the village hall. We'll no longer have to drive through the village. And when we have a home sale, we can read it, set it to read on that day, and not have to go to the home and read the meter. So it's an economics thing to save us some money and improve our efficiency, but it's not the type of thing that's been talked about in the media.
What do people think we're going to read? Like this thing got video footage or something in it or what?
We know a lot of that.
One of the dialogues that I didn't actually hear it, but the resident that called me told me that what was said was it'll tell the utility when your washing machine is in operation, and if you bought a new refrigerator, it's going to send a signal back. And it's going to track all that data, and then the utility can sell that information to private parties. Well, that's not our water meters. We don't have those features. But they're talking about that's set up to actually operate your buildings in your home for maximum efficiency.
Right.
which those meters, the company we're working with, Census, doesn't even offer that type of a meter for public sale. So that's what the blog was about. It's a different kind of meter in a different market. It's not what we're talking about. So that's just a heads up for you. If you have any questions, and so you know about that.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Okay, presentation on the new village website.
It was a pleasant surprise when I went on there. I thought, well, what's this?
Hello, everyone. Good evening. My name is Lana, and I am the marketing intern here at the village. So the past few months, since I've been here, we've been looking to create a more user-friendly web presence. And since the village website hasn't been updated for over a decade, we were kind of in need of little makeover. So with the help of some board members and a committee that was formed like here at Village Hall, we have launched our new website as of yesterday, and we are in our transitional phase, like smoothing everything over, but may I present to you LA's new website. So as you can see, we tried to do like kind of calming colors and accentuate our new logo. So we have the little swirls up here that are supposed to represent the water, the land, and then the sun of Alloway. And we have incorporated a tagline of historically progressive, which will encompass our rich historic background as well as being progressive in nature for the village. So right off the bat, what we're looking to do is have people, visitors of the website, be able to find the information that they want quickly. And a lot of times, people want information on who is responsible for running the village. Let's check you guys out.
Oh boy.
Who's responsible?
So, we have information in your photographs here on the village board, how to get a hold of you, just so visitors to the site would be able to see who's, you know, serving on the board in the village. Now, off on the side here, we have an events calendar that's going to show up no matter what channel that you're going under. I'm not sure how to get rid of that. All right. So anyways, under the About tab, like you can see off to the right-hand side, all the other things that are going to be under that tab. So we have the department heads, we have, you know, the representatives. You know, just people are able to be contacted quickly and easily. And at the bottom of the page, there's also like information about Village Hall. So you can find your way back to home base pretty quick. Like, you're not going to like dig too deep in the website that you don't know where you are and you can't get out of it. So we've also highlighted what's going on like with the TIF district, trying to attract businesses in that city area through the Alloway Business Association. So we're doing plugs for the local businesses who are involved in that and kind of just trying to generate interest within the village to get more people interested in coming to the village, move here, do business here. We're highlighting the committee, calendar, planning opportunities, community links, and if anybody wants to volunteer. Like, it's all pretty self-explanatory, which is what we were looking for. When you go to different departments and stuff like that. You're going to have all that stuff off to the side here. So say right away, you know, I'm looking for something going on with the trails right now. You're going to be able to click right to that, and that's going to bring you right to what's going on with the trail. Again, as I said, there's just going to be these community events. You can click on these little pop-ups that come up. And that will give you information on what's going on in the village. So this is a Brewers game. There's a charter bus that's heading down to Milwaukee. Just gives you information. And then also, there's agenda minutes so people can find out, you know, what's going on in these board meetings. And again, with contact information. So if anybody has a general question when they come to the website, you have the opportunity to fill out this little questionnaire thing and just shoot off an email like, hey, what time is my garbage going to get picked up? And that will be routed to our receptionist, and then she can disperse it to whoever will be able to answer that question.
What do you think?
Like I said, I was pleasantly surprised yesterday when I clicked on it. It's like, whoa, yeah. It's live. You
know? I thought it was easy to get around in.
Yeah. When
I
looked at it today. Have had a chance to look at it a bit? Okay.
One thing I question is, how are we going to keep it up? Is it easy to keep up? Because the calendar dates and the minutes and all that kind of thing, I think Debbie does some of that now, doesn't she?
She posts to the website now.
That's been doled out through our master administrator to the website, which is shared.
Oh, shared.
And then there can be different roles assigned to different employees. So they'll have access to be able to update the calendar or, you know, recreational programs or something like that. So it's all done within the office here.
Any idea how much time? I mean, that you probably don't know exactly since we're just starting, but on a weekly, monthly basis, any idea how much time is estimated to maintain it?
In this transitional phase, like the next week or so, yeah. Like while these tweaks are being made, where everything is up to par, I think it's going to take a little bit longer than usual. But once it is up to date, the maintaining, I don't think it should take really long. The back end of the website is really user friendly as well, and so it's kind of a what you see is what you get. It's like a kind of like a word processor.
Okay.
So you're able to.
And will there be counters so you can tell what are the more popular?
Actually, yes, I think that they have done. I'm drawing a blank on what the term is for right now, but I will get back to you on that because I know they said that they were going to do it, but I'm not sure where it is right now.
And then you're also. Well, not you maybe personally, but selling advertising where business would be highlighted on the web page.
Right. So we also got involved with community videos, which Brown County kind of turned us on to the idea.
Right.
So this is located on the home page, and there's a holding spot for it right now. So it kind of just says, welcome, you know, take a tour of what our village looks like. So you're in the future, you're going to be able to click on this link, and there'll be community videos that highlight quality of life in the area, like realty, like relocating to the area, like what type of houses we have, as well as education. So where you're going to have those three different videos that people can click on, and then the sponsors of those videos will be around the video they chose to sponsor, and then people can click on the local businesses from there. So actually, an update from CGI, the production company that made the videos, and we probably won't be seeing any like live footage from them for another month or so. But the man came, did some great footage. Tracy and I were out with him for a whole day, and it was beautiful. So I'm really excited to see how that turns out.
And we'll have the video also that Steve did. There's a welcome video from the president that will be out there. So there'll actually be four videos once it's all said and done that we'll be able to look at the website.
Correct. And then down here we'll have new stories too. So if you haven't had a chance to look at it, I'll show you. Any other questions?
Fantastic.
Great job. It's really good. Good job.
Just as an aside, there's a grant that's being formulated out at UW Green Bay to help pay for interns to do things, and we were asked to write a letter, and we had nothing but great things to say about both of our interns, but including you.
Thank you.
And we're so happy with your work. It's just a great testimony to some things that you've done that we just couldn't have done ourselves because we don't have the expertise and because we don't have the time.
Thank you very much.
So thanks so much.
That. Thank you.
Trustee Gass, did you?
No, I was going to say that, you know, your community welcome, you know, you probably look a lot like George Clooney to there. You did a stand-in for you or something.
Yes. We'll see. All right, public appearances. Is there anyone who'd like to speak this evening? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 6, action regarding the hearing on the PDD extension request for 1901 libel. I want to hear from our petitioners first, I would imagine.
here for Hillcrest and the owner of the property, LA Senior Care. Also with me is Dan Doro, who is the project manager, and he's been with Hillcrest for almost 30 years. And I wanted to give an update on the PDD that was approved approximately 2 years ago. And we had talked about doing that in phases. And phase one is substantially complete. That was putting the eastern building that's up there. And so what we did as part of phase one is to put the two V-wings on the back side of it, and then also have a garage built and finish the parking lot landscaping. And we finished the east portion of the south road. So that's all been done. And then they were hopeful that they could secure financing to start some of the other phases this fall. And so there was some talk about whether that was possible. But then it turned out that the project was so successful that the best way of going about it would be to combine what we had thought would be two phases into one phase. And so then we'd be looking at breaking ground next spring for that. And so then once we realized that, then we would just put the sidewalks in. And you can see the sidewalks are in right now, and the driveway is actually half in because it's being done in two phases, so to permit ingress and egress. So one side of the driveway and apron is complete, and then once that dries and there's able to be traffic over it, then the other side is going to be done. So phase one is substantially complete. And I had anticipated that we wouldn't be able to get all of the phases done in the two-year PDD. This is really more of a project for a five-year PDD, but they're going to be a two-year PDD. And so what we're looking at doing is combining the second and third phase, which would be a duplicate building of what is already there. So it would be like a mirror image, and then that would become the westerly building, and the westerly two wings would be completed. So that's the remaining work. And so this project has been successful. It's just that the financing program going through SBA 504 loans, and that's a lengthy process. Actually, you get interim financing, and then it gets funded. For this project, for the phase one, it just got funded about 2 months ago. So that's how long it takes. But so we're looking at breaking ground in the spring on those remaining two, and then it would be approximately a one-year construction cycle for that combined. And so then that would be complete in the spring, summer of 2015. So we're asking for that to be extended out. And so I think what the board needs to do is to determine if there has been substantial compliance with the PDD. We believe there will be future compliance to allow additional time to permit that to occur. When you look at approval of additional time, you can look at the economic benefits that will be here that will result in construction expenditures of approximately $3 million for those two phases combined. And it will also double the tax impact on the facilities. So right now, it's been the building is assessed at I believe $2.6 million, so whatever the property taxes are for the improvements on that will likely double since it's a mirror image of the other building. And it will have jobs because there's a high staff ratio. The residents who live at this facility are all private pay, and there's also a very high ratio of staff to the residents there. And there's also a specialization in memory care loss that also results in a higher staff ratio. So you'll have additional jobs created there. And also, it serves a need, ever-increasing need, of providing quality care for elderly people have memory loss. That's kind of a little bit of a void in it. A lot of places do provide assisted living for the elderly, but once their memory loss or their dementia reaches an aggravated condition, then they no longer provide care. And so that's one thing that is different about this facility, is that it will provide care as long as the resident or the resident's family wants it to be there, usually till the end of the person's life. So it's, I know that's kind of a sad thing to talk about, but you know, you really don't want to have to move somebody around when they're at their most vulnerable stage. So we would appreciate your consideration of the extension. If you have any questions, I can do my best to answer them. Dan's here to talk about any of the technical aspects of it.
I understand what you mean about this being a successful project and some of the funding didn't come into light, but from the resident point of view, the two projects are connected and it's been somewhat of a disaster. I mean, there's been an unsightly road to look at. The sidewalk hasn't been in for a very long time, and this has been going on for a long time. So I have to disagree with an overall blanket statement that this is a successful project, because when you put them both together, it hasn't been all that great. You know, the community on the north end, you're right. I mean, it really is serving the needs of people in Alloway, and I think these are wonderful things, but we need to get this thing moving along. And even the sidewalk, it shouldn't have been this long for that to get put in. So I agree with some of the recommendations that Tracy has put on with regard to it, but we need to move it forward, and this would, if the board decides to approve this, it should not be anything beyond 2015. I mean, this has got to get done. And I know there are reasons why it doesn't, but it's got to get done. Anyone else who has a comment with regard to the petition? Or a question?
Is the Plan Commission, where are they at with their opinions? I know they were pretty excited about getting that sidewalk completed. And it, like Steve said, it has taken a while. Are they on board with the current plan?
I think Tracy would be the best person to answer that. I don't have any personal knowledge.
Sure. The way ordinance is written, for extension or for the developer to come back that has not met the deadline, it comes back just to village board. So this project will not go back to Plan Commission. I have discussed it with them, let them know what was going on. I kept them in the loop on it, but there is not a requirement for them to go for it to go back. If you would decide that you're not going to extend this PED, then indeed the property developer wanted to start another PED, then again they would go back through the process and Plan Commission would get involved at that point. But with this kind of approval, there is not a requirement for it to go back to Plan Commission.
Okay, thanks.
Is there a reason why it didn't, though? I mean, I know we're not required to, but they've been very involved and have had strong opinions about a lot of these issues.
I think just because the process did not call for it, so I did not take it back to my commission. And there weren't necessarily changes to it except for the extension of the timeline. They're not changing exactly what's happening out there, which is what Plan Commission originally approved. The timeline is changing. The improvements are still the same as what Plan Commission had originally recommended.
Trustee Gass?
No, I mean, I think the existing facility, I think, is wonderful. I mean, I think it's a very attractive facility. I think the developers done a nice job of landscaping and doing a number of other things out there. Granted, it hasn't moved forward as quickly as anyone envisioned that it would a couple of years ago. I think there's a number of reasons for that. Financing, we kind of hit the bubble, in that time frame. So I can understand why things haven't progressed as quickly as I think everyone would have wanted them to. I'm sure the developer would have loved to have everything done by now. But a number of factors come into play, and I'm happy to see that the sidewalk is finally going, and I think that was probably one of the big, issues that a lot of people have, but it's going in and it isn't. There aren't any real changes to the PDG other than the extension of the time. I'm in favor of it. I think that the developer should be afforded the time and not have to go back through the entire process. I think, I like what's there. We're talking about, getting the mirror image and relatively soon. And actually doing phase two and phase three all at one time because the time seems right for them. I think it's a wonderful kind of facility. I think as our baby boomers get older, and yes, I'm in that range. At the bottom end, though, but we're going to need more facilities like that. And the things I've heard, it's well run, well managed. So I'll be in favor of granting the extension because I think everybody wants to get it done, and I think there's a clear path going forward to make sure that it gets done.
Now, when you talk about a mirror image, it would create a courtyard effect, which would be nice in the courtyard, but from here we'd be looking at the back of the building, right?
In a sense. Way that is correct, although I might describe it a little differently, is that was something when we were working with the plan designs several years ago, that has been something that was worked out with the village. There was actually concern about having the building the way that it is now, that it would have like a barracks look to it because it's a long, straight building. And so what was considered more desirable previously and so now is they have some variation in the depth of it. But it will be attractive. I mean, it's not going to look like loading docks or, like the back of the wall or something like that. It will be landscaped around it. And actually, maybe these in the eye of the holder were thinking with working with the village that they didn't like the flat front of it, that they wanted more of a variety. So when you looked at it, you could see some parts of the building were out front and some of the back.
Okay.
And if you want to, you can see what it looks like on the back of this one.
Yeah, I could go over there from the river.
Just don't step on the new sidewalk.
Still green.
And there are some turkeys running around on the burrow.
Well, that's later.
I'm trying to explain to them they're on the agenda later. But
run away, go to Bellevue.
I would just throw in the 2 cents that the residents love the turkeys.
No. No, you may not. You're out of order.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at the fan base for the turkeys, that's it.
Yeah, I've heard. Trustee Dart?
In our notes, we have a couple things here, and one is in regard to curb and gutter replacement and abandoning the track pad. What does that refer to, and is that something that has to wait until we move along?
Yes, if you look at the project, it's actually, and I think it might be easier to see now with the sidewalk in, there is a road next to the road for the condominium, and a tracking pad is just put some gravel in the room. Okay. And so then when the semis or the large construction equipment goes into that road, there's a construction road that runs in the beginning parallel to the road next to the condominium, and then curves and goes in between the path between the berms, and then it would be able to get onto the site. And so that's a way where you're not damaging the sidewalk or concrete driveway. So it's just for construction purposes. And there will need to be one for this project. And the reason why it's gravel is to try to capture any mud on construction vehicles as they're departing and going onto the street so that you don't have stormwater issues.
So that would be completed after the project was completed?
Yes, and because that's done at the end, we don't want there to be any concerns with the village, and we've agreed to provide an escrow for whatever the cost would be in the village. Asked for a total of $8,500.
Okay.
To remove the tracking pad and repair the road.
So you've agreed to that escrow?
Yes, we've agreed to escrow a total of $8,500 as detailed by the village.
And I obviously agree with the project. We approved it, the first time around. I love what's been done so far. It's just a timing thing. I really want to get some things completed over there. And I'm disappointed that it took this long for something as simple as the sidewalk. I just want to make sure that we're not having the same conversation in 2015. As I won't, if I'm here in 2015, there is no way that I'm going to even consider extending anything. I mean, this needs to be done.
Yeah, Right, and I just wanted to provide an explanation for the sidewalk, because there was still hope that perhaps ground could be broken, you know, before the PDD ends, or, you know, really soon thereafter. We just decided that it was more important to perhaps under promise and over deliver and get the sidewalks in. And one of my personal goals is to never have a discussion about sidewalks in the village in that way again.
Or turkeys.
So, you know, then we thought, well, let's just put it in. If we end up damaging part of it in the construction, like might be possible, then that's, you know, then it has to be repaired. But we know that that was an irritant to many people in the village, and it seemed like it just wasn't worth it. I mean, there's difference of opinions, but you know, we don't want it to unnecessarily irritate the village of LA over a sidewalk issue, and we just want to be able to eliminate that as a point of discussion and be able to move on to what is really, you know, a multi-million dollar project. You know, it's doubling the size of it. That's a big investment, and you know, and it should go well. All the other part was a financial success. There's a waiting list, and so it's primed to be able to do that. And I understand with the sidewalks. I mean, they're supposed to be done at the end of the PDD, and they are in a week or two, maybe a couple days. I just wanted to explain to you why they weren't done immediately afterwards, is because they're still hoping that the western building could be started prior to the end of the season. Mm-hmm.
Any further questions? Okay, thank you. Is there a motion with regard to item number 6? Trustee Gaff?
I move to extend the PDD for 1901 Libel to July 19 of 2015 on condition that the developer escrow the sum of $8,500 to resolve the curb and gutter replacement and abandoning the tracking pad and construction of the berm, grass, and landscaping, with the escrow to be by way of performance bond, letter of credit, or other acceptable form of escrow deposit.
Is there a second? Trustee Copers? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
All right, well, thank you. We're going to be leaving. I kind of want to know what happens to the church.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Item number 7, action regarding the contract for assessment services. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Zimmer.
I will move for renewal for a term of 3 years for the attached contractual agreement.
Is there a second? Trustee Gass, second. Discussion?
I don't think anybody has any questions. Mr. Diener is here tonight if you have any, but it's really renewing that he started with us in 2010 and has done a great job. He's obviously done the day-to-day work for us, and then we also hired him to do the reevaluation, which he has finished this year. So I did talk to staff that interacts with his staff, and everybody really enjoys working with him. He does a good job, gives back to our residents, gives them very clear, concise answers, and you not always want to hear it, but he does explain and explain it well. So I highly recommend we renew the contract with Mr. Deere, and he just has done a really nice job for us. So.
There were some questions about there was a lot of work to be done with digitizing and taking pictures and then the storing of data. We haven't had any glitches with regard to any of that. Is that correct?
No, there's no real glitches. It's just getting it all. You know, once in a while, like taking pictures, and then you attach them and they get stripped. Who knows where they go? And have to go out and take new pictures. But as a whole, no, there's no real. No real problem.
And what's the schedule for getting all of that work done?
September 19th is our board review. we basically have it done, and I'm reviewing the values to make sure, you know, we had to establish what's called a model. You look at all the sales and you establish what they're selling for, you know, how much is a, what's the contributory value of a fireplace, how much is a house that's a similar home that's built in 1972 versus 82, how much of a value change, if any, is there because of the age. And as much as possible, you look at sales, you look at the market to establish the model. And unlike the last time when Dennis Bonk did the market adjustment, there were a ton of sales. Well, the market's changed. We don't have as many sales to work with, which kind of is a little more difficult to establish that model. But having the model, then you work with that to value all the other homes. And that's been done. And now it's just reviewing redundancy to make sure there's some they're making sense, looking at each one. So, but there really hasn't been any real issues to speak of. Just it's a time to complete the project. 5,000 homes done.
And Tracy sort of had off-the-cuff comment, but how about residents? Have you had any questions of residents about when you go and take pictures of their homes, or have you had questions about assessments, or are people pretty understanding about the
pictures of the meters?
When we're taking pictures, I notify the village, and basically that was done a year ago, but now we find ones, and I have probably about 30 again that I got to take again someday.
Mm-hmm.
Now isn't the best time of year to take them. I might even wait until fall and the foliage is off the trees, but I'll notify Sherry or somebody, you know, in the village when I'm going out to take those pictures. I'll say, you know, just sort of police department, somebody. I always have the logo on the car. I drive my own car, or whoever in my office is taking pictures. We have the logo on, but still, when you take a picture of the house.
Yeah, people get nervous. Yeah,
yeah, and I understand that. So, you know, if they're outside, I'll wave, or if they look a little, if they're doing the garden or something, I might pull in and just say, I just have to take a picture of the house. You know. Oh, shut the garage door. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but otherwise, you know, yes, we constantly get calls, but I don't know of any real issues. You know, I think there's
and then when people get information about their most current assessment, are they surprised, or are people pretty understanding with how the economy has gone, what's happened to their...
There's always a mix.
Yeah.
You know, and quite honestly, typically, doing this for 20, 25 years, you send out that many notices and you think, oh my God, you know, the volume of calls that you could get, you know, if they aren't. But as a whole, usually I'm surprised that we don't get more.
Yeah.
Knock on wood, you know, but there's always questions. And I want people with questions, I want them to call. Because we're human too, you know, and there might be something we don't know about a house and things like that. So sometimes those calls are very good to get.
Especially if you don't have the smart electric meters, then there's a lot you don't know.
Yeah,
about
well, that's what I was listening to. If I
could. Piggyback on that.
Meter. So I know that could sense fresh wood.
Yeah, you put an addition on and boom, there you go.
The mortar.
Any other questions?
We'll figure that stuff out with the drones.
No one's supposed to know about that. Trustee Zeller.
Could you explain to us what criteria is that would trigger an automatic reassessment requirement, either the valuations up or down? And then is there a 10-year requirement as well?
10 years really, I'll say myth as much as anything. There is no 10-year. 10%, but not 10-year. There's been situations in the market, if you have an aggressive market, either up or down, you could do a revaluation 1 year and the next year and then you have basically 4 years to get back in compliance. So that is, and the Department of Revenue is constantly talking about making that window tighter. They want the assessments at a tighter range. They haven't really changed it in 10, 15 years. It's still the same parameters. But there is no 10 years. It's a 10% of your major classes. The village of Alloway has two major classes, commercial and residential. And when they get out of that 10% variation, then you have 4 years, and if you don't do it within 4 years, then the Department of Revenue takes over and they will contract out and have somebody do it.
I see.
And a lot of it is, we also look at the communities you want to look, you know, it's better, it's, in most cases, it's better not to wait till you have to, because then it's that much dramatic, that much more of a shock of how much your assessment's going to change sometimes.
Right. So what happens after the, you're out of compliance because there's a 10%? There's a real aggressive market, and they say, all right, you got to do this, but and they give you how long to do it? 4 years?
4 years.
So what if in a four-year period there's another adjustment and you're no longer out of compliance?
Then it resets the clock.
Oh, okay.
And then let's say it's a real stagnant market, and it doesn't change for 10 years. The market's just flat.
Just keep it.
You're in compliance.
Right.
It could go for, theoretically, it could go for 20 years, 30 years, you know.
Right.
You have a really straight-line market.
I think when, last time this was triggered, we were at about 85% of, right? We were.
Tracy wasn't there, and I wasn't here.
Okay. Yeah, we were out of compliance pretty substantially. Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Item number 8, action regarding the approval of noise ordinance permit for Beja Ultimate Bike Show at the Baja. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Kopisch?
I move to approve.
Is there a second? Trustee Gast?
I'll second.
Tracy?
Rick, do you have anything to add? Have you worked with them? This is an ongoing event that they've had for several years, so.
With the trainers?
Yeah.
Yes, it's been ongoing. I know everybody complains or concerns that we've ever had about it. I don't think he planned changing anything from the past year. They were about the noise variance permit, and so it's getting more scale six side, basically.
So you'll sign off on it?
Yes.
Didn't we sort of have a running policy that if it's a recurring event that...
Yes.
But you're saying that everyone knows that we're just doing this to be double, double sure? Or?
This is a noise permit, so you have to approve these each year.
Okay.
Even though it's an ongoing or recurring, but it's not like it was... But you're not actually approving the event itself because it's been going on. So this is kind of a different part of it. This
okay.
is specifically to noise, and that you have to approve each year.
What is an ultimate bike show? Is that motorcycles or bicycles or?
It's a motorcycle.
Okay. And what is BEJA? What is?
The
is that
Beja Shriners.
The Shrine. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Now, item number 9, action regarding the approval of public works minutes from July 11th, the proposed cellular service in Alloway from Extranet. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Zeller?
I will move to approve the installation of the proposed cellular antennas. With the understanding that the supplier, the vendor, the contractor obtain all necessary permits through the standard permitting process according to our public works minutes.
Is there a second? Trustee Gast, second. Discussion? Trustee Zeller.
Craig did a real thorough explanation to us for the Public Works Committee, and he went over some of the diagrams and the information that you have in your packet. Basically, it boils down to four booster-type antenna sites mounted on existing Wisconsin Public Service utilities. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, Craig. That would supplement the existing towers within the village. and the four towers located in Alloway would be part of a larger project that would extend to Green Bay and Bellevue, with a total of 9 booster antennas. So the coverage, they've studied and strategically placed these antennas, but it would still require that they obtain permits for utility easement work. That's a summary of what Craig explained to us.
If you recall, I asked about coverage a couple months ago, and I didn't know that Craig was working with these folks about the, in fact, I knew nothing about the boosters, and this seems like a perfect problem, or a solution to a problem that's been ongoing in Alloway for a long time. And residents, like I said, they sort of joke about it, that you have to go out in your driveway to use your cell phone. So I'm hoping that this will... Do we have any idea of... I sort of understand the technical part of it, but four boosters in all of Alloway seems like, well, it may or may not work. How confident we are that this is really going to solve the problem that we're having?
Right. A couple comments. It's the start of a solution, if you want to put it that way, because Extenet is the cellular provider, and they need a customer that's willing to pay them to install a system, and that happens to be Sprint. And so Sprint is the initial contracting cellular company that Extenet is working with. And Sprint has determined where the antenna should be located to improve their service in Alloway and in Green Bay. And there's actually a total of 13 antennas in the whole metro area.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I was leading up to is one of the logical questions is, well, what about the other cell companies?
Mm-hmm.
And what Extenet has told us and what they've agreed to do as part of the permitting process, and they would normally do this anyway, but I asked them to expedite it on our behalf, which is to contact the other cell companies and begin to exploring the expansions of the systems to serve the other companies where they would want to have local antennas as well. And so as time goes on, you'll see this system expand. And it's a fiber optic system, so the antennas are located on the top of the power poles, and then there's a fiber optic cable that's run pole to pole, and that interconnects the system. And they use fiber because this is a data network. It's to handle the high volume of data that we all have now with our iPhones and everything else. It's to supplement that to handle the data. And then this system will signal to a main tower that will pick it up, and that will be how it enters the cell network, you know, on an overall basis. So that's the concept. I would suggest that we have them come in August and give you a full presentation on the learning.
That'd be great.
To do that. And then they'll go through this presentation here, and then they'll talk about, you know, how this all comes together in terms of the permitting process and use of it. And they're offering to us, I believe it's a 97 fiber optic system, and they're offering to us as part of the licensing agreement to us 2 fiber optic cables or fibers that would be dedicated just to Alloway. So we would have those. If we ever want to go fiber optic on their system, we can do that.
Oh.
And that's a neat deal. There's no cost for that. The only provision for us is that if we want to tie into it, we have to use Gabe's Construction to do the tie-in because that's their installer, which is a fair thing. So that's just a couple of other pieces of information. We would permit it as a utility project like we permitted other fiber optic projects in the village in the last 2-3 years. And if we have them come in and give a presentation to the board, then they'll cover how this all fits together and the details of their offering. And I think it's a real nice opportunity for us to improve cell service and really no cost to us.
Yeah.
It's a really nice opportunity.
I'm all for that. I just don't know how aggressively to respond to residents when they ask about this. And because I hear the complaints and the jokes all the time, and I want to be able to say, hey, we're working on it, and here's what... But I don't want to overpromise. I don't know how to read this map, and I understand what you say about this is only for people who are using Sprint. Because But even if we got all the carriers on these same poles, I'm not sure what this green, yellow, blue means and how, in a practical sense, how many people it's going to help if we have four boosters in Alloway.
Well, that's a good question to have Extonet address.
Okay.
Because they have their, they'll bring their engineer that designs the system and he can address that. But this is good coverage for Alloway. I mean, this is a plus. The green is your high intensity. The yellow is improved service. It's still adequate service. So you can see that's a fairly large area. And the blue is the fringe. They should be able to get service, but it won't be as good a service as obviously the other two areas. Same concept as we have with our antenna system that we're going to use for reading water meters. There's three or four different fields, all of which are red. But quality of service defines the farther you get up. These are definitely localized antennas. These are the spots where they feel they really need to boost their service. And so that's where they're located, where they have their maximum usage and where they have their maximum need, and so that's where these are.
Can you tell us where they
this
are?
Is,
you can't read it.
It's all north of 172.
Oh, that helps. I didn't even know where this was. I didn't know, Craig, if this was including Green Bay or... Because you said there are four boosters, right? So is this... Does this go into Green Bay or... I'm not even sure where this is.
Looks
I don't
like it goes into Green Bay. This right here is Optimus
that's
Park.
Okay, so Alloway's here.
This is Optimus Park. This is Webster Park.
You can see one is down on Riverside, one is on Webster, somewhere near the water tower. One is over here by... on the east side of Alloway Avenue, just north of Alloway Avenue. Actually, it would be right over
east
here
of, okay.
In St. Joseph. And then the other one is located down over that way in the residential area northeast of us here.
Okay, so this is where the boosters will be, and then this is the coverage that the boosters will take care of.
Right.
Where right now they're... So this includes the existing coverage that the residents might get from a regular tower, is
right,
that correct?
Exactly. Yeah.
Plus what the boosters are going to add to it. Okay, and but it's only for Sprint.
It's only for Sprint.
Okay.
But their history then was the question that we had, and we asked them when they come here to address that question, how are they going to expand the service to other providers, and what is the status of that? And they agreed that they will make a sincere effort to do that, but that's a question that they should address to you.
And to other parts of Alloway. So now I know that if someone asks me and they live south of 172, I'm not going to give them the spiel about, hey, we're working on it, because they're not going to see any change whatsoever. Okay.
We're one of six communities in the state that have been, whatever you want to call it, selected or targeted to install this system. So, Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, Alloway, and a couple of others that they're installing these systems in. And again, it's to pick up the high volume of internet data or cellular data that people are demanding. And so this is a system that will continue to expand, I believe, based on usage demands that we're seeing.
Craig, you mentioned revenue opportunity for the village of Alloway for future use of street and traffic lights. What might that be?
Well, and this may apply, for example, to the Riverside Drive reconstruction. If we integrate them into a project that we do, Riverside Drive would be a good example, so that they can install their systems in that area during the project construction. For example, if it's an overhead system, well, even if it's not, even if it's underground power, you still have the overhead antenna. They would want to locate their antennas on the light poles. So let's say we put in new decorative lighting, overhead lighting of a high elevation, rather than the short poles with the high ones. If we would allow them to locate on the poles, they would pay for the cost of those light poles. Well, that's just an approach that they take. That's not a huge amount of money, but on the other hand, if I do a project, it makes sense.
Okay.
So that's, and then we do have you will have two fibers in that network that will be dedicated to Alloway. And we can do whatever we want. We want to set it up as a commercial base and offer access to the commercials as well as ourselves. We can do that. It's dedicated to that.
Thank you.
Steve, do you want me to add to my motion that they be invited, that the vendor be invited for a meeting? Or
Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Craig. Yes.
Yeah, I also just want to comment in your packet, this was recorded on the Hilltop Fire Response for your information. So that's in the package of information. That's our internal summary of what our response was and our water usage. So it wasn't listed on the agenda as a discussion item or an action item, but
in the minutes.
Report is in there. Please take a look at it, and it pretty much summarizes our observations. And there's a path forward. There's a couple of things we're going to look at.
Okay.
They're not major items. They're smaller items, but they're improvements that will make things better in the future.
I think you did a nice job explaining that on the news the other day. I understood it.
Thank you.
I don't enjoy doing it, but sometimes you just have to. And sometimes you just have to call a space here. You got something. Here's the deal. And that's what that came out of. It didn't run out of water.
Item 10, action regarding the possible hiring of an organizational development consultant. I would like to make a motion to postpone this item to the next village board meeting. Is there a second? Trustee Dart? Discussion. We had a closed session meeting to talk about this possibility and to negotiate a possible fee that it would take, and the board needs a little bit more detail, I think, about what the proposals are, so we're going to take a little bit more time to collect information. Hopefully we'll have something by the next board meeting. Any further discussion? Trustee Gant?
Yeah, we might want to at least reserve the opportunity to have another closed session meeting before this is taken action on in open session.
That's true. We need to reserve that.
We have a 5:30 meeting next board meeting.
Well, either that or we could have the regular board meeting, go into closed session, as we oftentimes do, and then be able to reconvene in the open session afterwards and take action on this item.
Yeah, depending on folks' schedules, I'd like to do it beforehand so that we can have a discussion in open session when folks are more likely to be here to listen to the discussion. So I'm not sure it needs to be part of the motion, but I would request that we establish a closed session meeting at 5:30 before our next board meeting.
We already do have one, right?
We do have one?
We have that. Well, we're on the closed session. We have the meeting for the initial survey for the historical preservation committee.
That's right. All right, then let's do it after then. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We'll take items 11A through C unless there are objections. Is there a motion with regard to items 11A through C?
Trustee Gant? Move
to approve. Is there a second? Trustee Dart? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Reports, discussion, update on the wild turkeys in the village.
I don't see Brandon here to talk about turkeys.
Brandon's on vacation this week, and he had asked if he needed to come, and I think he even had an update, and I don't see you and him that with the DNR, but he told me that he's planning to see the DNR later this month, so this is the county report, and Steve hasn't given me to ask if you need the DNR.
Yeah, we had a discussion with a guy from the DNR that that would issue the permits, and he said it's perfectly possible for us to take a number of different approaches to this. We could have sort of a two-day hunt to get rid of them. We could have sort of a season, and he recommended that we sort of incorporate into whatever our policy is going to be on this with something, a policy related to deer, because Green Bay is having some problems with deer. They've taken a particular approach, and he really thinks that we're probably going to have a similar problem as well. So to sort of address the issue overall of wild animals in the village and the approaches that we want to take to them. So we'll have some recommendations for the board soon, we hope. We haven't gotten any complaints from residents, any further complaints from residents, however. So, Trustee Dart.
If there is just an area that's complaining, could we just take out those turkeys?
Mm-hmm. That's definitely an option.
Yeah, instead
you can
of
issue permits
people
for
don't mind them.
Right. Well, apparently the residents across the street
right.
don't mind
them. I know some other people that don't mind them, and you know, I hate to get all the turkeys out of here. I don't want to have an open turkey shoot.
But we're going to have the guy from the DNR in, and he's going to explain sort of the benefits of culling the herd. Some of the flock, whatever we call them, turkeys. The
flock,
flocks, the size that we're seeing in some of these areas, they're too big. And there's oftentimes stress and sort of natural attrition, if you will, when you get flocks that size. So the turkeys, some of the turkeys are going to die anyway. And so he can explain the whole thing, but there's a very, you know, sort of intentional method to making sure that herds and flocks are manageable and that they're as healthy as possible and that they don't spread disease and all those sort of things. So, okay. D.O. Lopno, Escort Service Ordinance.
This issue came up in the last couple months. It's not that it was Howard and Swamico have been doing some things for ordinances and prostitution. I had a chance to participate in the most recent one, and I would ask the board to consider adopting one of the ordinances from Swamico or Green Bay. I think they're all about the same. The first question that comes up and the first question I had was, why do we want an ordinance and invite people to come that way to do this business? That's certainly not the point of the ordinance. It's very strictly regulated. The ordinances require $1,000 down payment to even be considered for licensing, $500 for a background check, and $500 for the license itself, and it comes with a very stringent background check. From what I understand in other communities, it's rare, if ever, that anybody actually does put in and get a license for an escort service. The biggest point of it would be to have it on paper, so if it does become an issue in the village or something does come up, we have a way of taking action on it. I can tell you the sting that I watched, it was a bigger problem with prostitution. They actually made felony arrests for people, I guess basically being a pimp to underage girls. So it's more of a proactive stance. We don't necessarily have to participate in that sort of thing, but I think it would be good to have something on paper. If it would come up, then we can take action on it. It would be a problem for us.
Can we get copies of those ordinances?
I have the Swanico one right here. I can make some copies for you. They're very detailed. And like I said, I think the village of Swanico basically adopted theirs from Green Bay, and I want to say Howard and Ashwaubenon did the same thing.
Even electronically would be fine if you could just gather two or three and send them out. And then I would recommend that we put this on the next board meeting agenda to start to deliberate over it.
Yeah, like I said, it's not so much we want to invite people here to this kind of business, but if we don't have anything on paper,
they can do it anyway. Right now they can do it anyway, right? We don't have an ordinance. So.
Right. Until it crosses the line of prostitution, if, you know, that were covered under state statute and adopted ordinances in the village, but if it's simply an escort and we can't prove the prostitution part of it, then we're kind of stuck.
Where do we end up with the adult
bookstore ordinance.
No, honestly, I don't remember. That was so long ago.
Tracy, can you
check on that? Yep. I mean, I know it was a long time ago, but we had a discussion, and I can't remember if we adopted an ordinance or we didn't. I think we did.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly what the scope of it was or what the...
Yeah, Tracy, maybe we can circulate that to the board, too, so we can, as we're looking at this issue, we can make sure that we're where we want to be on the other ordinance as well.
Trustee Dark.
So what we're looking at would be putting an ordinance in place that allows escort services, but you have to do this, this, and this, right?
Yeah, if you have a chance, I can send something out. It's.
And the reason we would do that is so that we have some legal way of checking to see what's really going on. Because if they don't have an ordinance and they're saying they're an escort service, but they're prostitution... Am I clear on that, or...?
What we see, for example, the stings that they've done, if you're familiar with the newsletter, the entertainer that goes out, look in the back of the pages, there's the escort services, and it's basically a bunch of phone numbers. What it comes down to is it's prostitution, but they go under escort service.
Mm-hmm.
So that can go anywhere in the county. It's not localized to one area or anything. They'll pretty much respond to wherever you call them from. What we've seen in law enforcement is that turns into things that are associated with drugs and prostitution, basically. So that's, you know, kind of the reason behind the things they've been doing is to be proactive about it. Like I said, I think in Free Bay, it's rare, if ever, they actually have someone that has a escort license.
So, but again, the ordinance we would put into place would be allowing escort services.
Can we disallow them? Can we disallow escort services and say, right, Orange, you can't have that kind of business in Alloway?
Yeah, I think that's something you can bring up.
So, what the ordinance looks like could be anything from you can't have one at all, or you can, but here are all the rules for it. Was that your question?
Well, kind of, like, are we going to allow escort services but not prostitution, or, you know...
I think the biggest point would be right now there's nothing regulated whatsoever.
Right.
So it'd be better to, from law enforcement side, to get something on paper so if it does come up, we can take action. And down the road, if we want to choose to participate in some kind of thing, you know, I think they were going for more arresting on prostitution type services. But if they can't prove that, then they have an escort license ordinance in place that they can take action on as well.
Mm-hmm. Trustee Gass?
Well, I'm not sure if you can absolutely prohibit it as an industry, since, you know, on its face, it has, you know, there's nothing illegal about it. And the reason I question whether you can absolutely prohibit it is because nobody else has. They've regulated
it. Yeah.
So, I mean, we could look into see if we can prohibit it, but, you know, I mean, it's not an illegal trade on its face.
Did we prohibit the adult bookstore? But that's why I was wondering about that. What did we do with it then? I don't remember what we did with it.
If I remember right, the discussion at least was, I mean, you cannot prohibit and ban an adult bookstore and that kind of, you know, business. You can restrict its location. I mean, to put it into certain areas of your community, you know, where it's not, where it doesn't interfere with, you know, I mean, you can say it can't go next to a church. You can say it can't go next to a school. I mean, but my recollection is you have to be able to permit it someplace because it's not an illegal business per se. But you can regulate time, place, and manner.
Can you restrict it to an area that's so confined? I'm thinking of the sexual predator residency ordinances by one of our neighbors. Can you restrict it to such a degree that it's virtually impossible to set up?
Well, then you run into First Amendment issues, and then that's the issue sometimes is whether the regulation is so restrictive.
It's
what you're in essence saying is you're prohibiting.
Yeah.
So that's where some of the First Amendment cases
okay.
come on. You know, but yeah, I mean, I agree with Deputy that very few people take them out. But if you find them in your community and they didn't take,
you have some.
You can punish them just for that. And if you make the punishment so onerous, maybe they don't come back into your community and run the second offense.
Fair enough.
I'd also mention when I was able to observe what they're doing, participate a little bit in Howard's Farmer Bowl, it was about a month ago, it was the second time in about a month they're doing it, and I think their proactive approach had a pretty good effect because they had a lot more trouble getting people to, you know, respond to their phone calls and on the other undercover sites, so I think it did have a positive effect on deterring some of their business.
Well, and the problem is if we don't become proactive and our neighbors are proactive and chase them out of their community,
they're going to come here.
They got to go someplace.
I know what was talked about is they did it a couple times in Howard and Swamico, and now and what was brought up is what we want to do here in under Alloway and Bellevue to basically put on a stand. And talking to Tracy Steffens, who's the Bellevue DEO, they're in the process of discussing
I know you worked in drug enforcement for a while. When you do things like this, are there people that are sort of embedded in that community, or do you just have, all right, during the next 2 weeks, we're going to start calling these numbers and see if people respond? Because it strikes me that, you know, one of the responses would be there's a sort of a, you know, a password, a code of, you know, of the type of interaction you have to have or some things you have to say that legitimizes you as, look, I'm not just part of this thing and calling up and seeing if you'll take me up on this, that there's a, and you wouldn't know that unless you became sort of embedded in that community. Are there similar?
What they did, I know in our song goes, they have drug task force officers making the phone calls and set up at a hotel. In this last time, they actually had someone offer up their residence in Howard and to use the, as a meet location, basically, and then they were going the random phone numbers they found to see if they could get a response out of anybody. So they had the drug task force officers doing that. They had the DEOs on standby to go ahead and make traffic stops, come up and make arrests as needed. And they also had the investigative division standing by at the Swamico Village Hall to interviews. And they actually had a transport van waiting there. And at one point, they had four or five people sitting there waiting to be hauled to jail on various charges. So it's a pretty significant detailed operation that they put on. It was pretty good. I'll find a link to the Swamico ordinance and I'll email it to all of you.
Perfect. Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Item 14, report on the new Green Bay Area Bicycle Licensing Program.
In the last week or so, we've gotten the paperwork and the information to start with the Green Bay Police Department on their bicycle registration, which is all done online. The point of it is to go countywide with bicycle registration, so when we have lost or stolen bicycles, any officer can go ahead and look up a registration number if it's on a bicycle and find a proper owner. It's free to the public, like I said, countywide, so we can take registrations here at the village hall for anybody that's a common resident. And from what I understand, they're doing this in Bellevue, and they're doing it countywide, like I said, I think Wrightstown and Denmark, and just anywhere that way. Instead of now, if I find a bicycle that has a Green Bay registration sticker on it, I have no way of looking that up or tracking it. If it's after hours or, you know, weekend, I don't know if they'd be able to do that Green Bay without, you know, the proper staff there to do it. With this program, like I said, it's online. We have a login process specifically for the village hall. I can do it done it up at the front with Harry and Jenny and gotten that going. We've done a few of them here. It's pretty easy, and we can look it up at any time.
So when you say we take them at the village hall, people have to come in and give you the information here, and then it's entered into the database. Here, they don't register themselves online.
Right. They come in, fill out a form, and then we put it online and we issue the sticker from here.
Okay. Any reason why we wouldn't participate in that? I mean, it's. So is this already available? We're just looking to let people know that this is
right.
A way to ensure the safety of their bikes.
Right. Like I said, the point of it is to be able to more easily identify owners of bicycles. I think overall, throughout the county, it's a pretty good idea.
How does that usually work? If a bike is stolen, is it someone who takes it for a joyride and dumps it somewhere else, or do they steal them and sell them, or do they steal them and take them apart for parts? Or
most likely, the joyriding.
So they're usually found somewhere.
They find somewhere. In most cases, you have no way to identify where they exactly belong to them. In your description, but we don't have serial numbers and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. And you know, Green Bay does a big bike auction every year. They have hundreds and hundreds. And at any given time, at the sheriff's department, there's 30 or 40 of them sitting in the garage, waiting to go wherever they go.
Do most people contact you when they get a bike stolen, or do you just find the bikes and just not know who they belong to? Or
I think some do, some don't. But a lot of cases we find them and don't really have any good way of figuring out who they belong to.
Tracy?
You know, the other good thing about it is safety for the bicyclist. If I would fall on my bike and we have head injury and I'm laying there and I don't have any identification with me, the officers could look at that license on the bike and could get them the computer system and children's, a lot of times they're out and about.
Right.
They don't have identification with them. And even if it wasn't their bike, if it was a family registered bike, they would be able to get in touch. So it adds that little bit of safety as well to it, and having it be a countywide. Right now our system is, you know, it's pretty much our system, and there's no way that officers would get that information without us being open to be able to get that for them. So this way they could get it 24/7 and be able to
sounds like a great program. And with our mile markers and things on the trail, if you get in an accident on the trail, it'll be a little fun. Get someone help you quicker too. Perfect. Any other questions or comments? Thanks to EO Lockno. Motion to adjourn. Trustee Dart, second. Trustee Kopisch, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We're adjourned. Thank
you. Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, sir.